Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Winter is coming. These are the words of House Stark from the wildly popular TV show Game of Thrones. House Stark is located in the northern part of the fictional continent of Westeros. Of course, I've always felt a certain connection to House Stark, having grown up in Minnesota and being used to and even really liking the winter and snow and cold. Many of you have noticed I have a House Stark mug, and on it are these words, "Winter is coming." The seasons in Westeros are different than ours, that instead of lasting the usual about three-ish months, they can last for years on end. And a long summer means a long winter. And a long winter means years of snow, darkness, cold, and since it is a fantasy series, monsters called White Walkers that only come out during long winters. Winter is coming reminds House Stark never to get too comfortable, to be prepared for the long, cold, dark night, and of all the bad things that can come with it. Winter is coming for us too. Thankfully, not in the form of White Walkers or monsters, but the nights are longer, the days are colder, and we got snow. I'm happy about this. Not everyone has to be, don't worry. And with winter, of course, comes Christmas. In the church, we call this season leading up to Christmas Advent. Often we speak of Advent as a season of preparation. Preparation for the coming of Jesus. This talk about being prepared even fits in with the secular culture around Christmas. As we shift to December, we talk about being prepared for Christmas. Are you prepared for Christmas? Are you ready for Christmas? I was even talking to a family about this yesterday as we were getting ready for Shop with a Cop. And making small talk, it's an easy question. Are you prepared for Christmas? Because it takes an awful lot of planning and preparation. Christmas lists are made, collected, and shopped for, hopefully to get the best deals out there. Houses and trees are decorated and trimmed. Cookies, gingerbread houses, and all sorts of goodies are baked and decorated, displayed, and handed out. Plans to travel and hit up as many Christmas parties as possible are made while trying to keep all the families involved happy, and all the while trying to squeeze in your favorite Christmas Eve service at church. Christmas Eve and Christmas Day's menus are planned, shopped for, and cooked. In the midst of all these preparations that we make for Christmas, we are told we are also supposed to prepare for Jesus. Jesus is coming. Be prepared for Jesus. Be prepared for Jesus coming. When we do this, there are two traps that we fall into. First, we co-opt the passage from Isaiah for ourselves. Prepare the way of the Lord. becomes something that we think that we have to do in order to make things ready for Jesus to come. We must prepare Jesus' way. We must get everything ready for Jesus. Jesus' arrival depends on our readiness and our preparedness. We attempt to turn ourselves into modern-day John the Baptist, but often with our own particular agendas. Whether we cry out battle cries against the so-called war against Christmas or a rage against the injustices in society, we convince ourselves that means that we are making straight the highway for God in the desert. This is us lifting up the valley and making the mountain low and leveling the uneven ground and making the rough places plain. And in the midst of all this work, we start believing that being ready, being prepared, will make us worthy of receiving Jesus into our lives on Christmas. That preparedness means holiness. That preparedness means that we are deserving of Jesus. That we have somehow earned Jesus' coming by putting him on our to-do list for Advent and Christmas. On the other hand, the second trap plays out in a different way. If there are any of you out there who are planners, but also, like me, realize that it's pretty much inevitable that you're going to fall behind or drop the ball on something or maybe everything during the season, you fall into this trap. Now, we live in a townhouse, and the front of our houses face a fairly busy street that gets a lot of traffic. Now, I don't know how this happens. Part of me thinks it's this conspiracy by our townhouse association rental place that we live in, but the townhouses attached to ours over the past few years have turned over, and we all have new neighbors that have moved in, and often they've moved in from the same development. They were living in different townhouses, and the ones next to us were remodeled. They wanted to remodel the old ones, so we got all new neighbors who had already been living in that development. And they're fairly friendly and good neighbors for the most part. However, the reason I think this is a conspiracy is that they're all super into decorating for Christmas. Again, we live on a busy street. We get a lot of traffic. People will associate these homes with our development. And they're really, really into it. I'm not exaggerating. All the other houses around us have lights and decorations, snowflakes and candy canes, and you know those things that project the dots, the laser dot things? A couple of those have those. They have wreaths. They have everything. I mean, they are decked out. We have nothing. Like, I've gotten around to hanging up some lights in our window box, but you can't see those from the outside. And when I hung them up anyway, our toddler, being a toddler, decided to start trying to pull them down immediately because they're fun and they're colorful and lights, and he's a toddler. And I also got around to putting our Christmas tree up, but that's mainly because we had company coming over, and I haven't decorated it. I mean, thankfully, the lights came attached, so we've got that going for us. But that's about it. I mean, I might buy a wreath for the door, but I'm not going to light it up. So I look at our neighbors who are all prepared for Christmas, and it's clear that I am falling behind. I'm so not ready for Christmas. Christmas preparation guilt, very real. Forget making the path straight and leveling the mountains and raising up the valleys. I'm not even prepared to prepare the way of the Lord. Either way, we end up making Jesus' coming all about us. Whether we are convinced we have prepared or not, we turn this into something we earn and something we do. Jesus is coming. As the joke goes, quick, everyone look busy. Of course, even if we try our hardest, we can never be truly prepared for such things. We'll never be truly ready. Even if our houses are decked out, all the Christmas presents bought and wrapped, the Christmas Eve and day schedules planned to the minute, and Christmas cookies and goodies cooked and baked, we're not ready for Jesus to come. As Isaiah writes, a voice cries out in the wilderness, prepare The way of the Lord makes straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. In the Gospel of Mark, this verse is applied directly to John the Baptist. We learn that in order to prepare the way, John has been going around and baptizing people for the repentance of sins. Now, while we're tempted to make leveling about whatever cause we happen to be into, it's something completely different. Because if there's anything that can level the playing field, it's sin. As Paul writes in Romans, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So whether we make preparing for Jesus all about us, or we aren't prepared for Jesus at all, we all fall short. We all have sinned. We are reminded of this plight of our sin and the cost of our sin in these next verses in Isaiah. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and the people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All the people are grass. Their constancy is like the flower in the field. The grass withers. The flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. There's nothing that quite levels the playing field like sin, and the one major consequence of sin that comes for us all, death. As the saying goes, there are only two certainties in life, death and taxes. However, as we're reminded of our sin and our inevitable death by both Isaiah and John the Baptist, we are also reminded of what Jesus came here to do in the first place, why we needed Jesus to come. Jesus didn't come because we were ready or prepared or because we had leveled the playing field all on our own. Instead, Jesus comes because we are not prepared, because we can never truly be prepared. He comes because we need him. He comes because we are grass, and the grass withers, and the flower fades. He comes because we are all sinners, and we are mortal, and death comes for us all. So this Advent and Christmas, Jesus comes, whether we're ready or not, whether we're prepared or not even close. And this is grace upon grace, because we will never be truly and ready for Jesus to come. So Jesus comes into our messy, undecorated, and unprepared lives. Jesus comes even in the darkness of the season and the darkness and sin of our lives. Jesus comes at an unexpected time in an unexpected way to Mary, to Joseph in Bethlehem, and to us all. Jesus is coming. Jesus, the Word of God who will stand forever, as we're told, who will feed his flock, who will feed us like a shepherd, who gathers us into his arms, who leads us, loves us, who dies for us, who forgives us, who rises for us, who saves us, who gives us new life. Jesus is coming. Thanks be to God. Amen.